Well, thank you for coming together to learn together on a Rosh Chodesh morning. Rosh Chodesh, today is the day we begin to bring in the month of Kislev. And of course, the month of Kislev, as we know, climaxes in the one Yom Tov that's really entirely Torah Shabbat Peh. Purim, as Gemara points out, is sort of half in, half out. Purim takes place at the end of the period of Nevuah. Chanukah takes place during the Bayis Sheni, entirely in the period of Torah Shabbat Peh. When the Rambam opens Hilchos Chanukah, he opens with two, three halachos that tell the story of Chanukah, something which he does not do when he opens the halachos of Pesach or Sukkot or Purim. And the reason is that, as the Rambam writes, the opening of the Mishnah Torah, this Sefer is meant to be a compendium of the Torah Shel Peh, a digest of all the Torah Shel Peh. Rambam says, if you learn Tanakh and then you learn the Mishnah Torah, you'll get the basics of the whole picture, because he's giving you the basics of all of Torah Shel Peh. So the story of Pesach appears in Chumash, the story of Purim appears in Megillas Esther, the story of Chanukah is entirely Torah Shel Peh, and so the Rambam presents it as the story itself is a part of the Torah Shel Peh, and it captures the fact that Chanukah, in many ways, is a celebration of Torah in general and of Torah Shel Peh in particular. It's a celebration of Torah even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is inobvious, as he was throughout almost the entire story of the revolt in the Kiddush Hashem and the Mesiras Nefesh of the revolt of the Chashmonam that led ultimately to the Nisim of Chanukah. First the military Nes, and then finally the Nes Nigla in the Beis HaMikdash, the Nes Hashemim. So it's as we come into the month of Kislev, our thoughts turn towards the value of Torah and thinking about the differentiation of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. And today certainly is a day when surrounding culture reminds us of the importance of the homegrown midah of Hakaras HaTov. And I wanted to take a look together with you at a sugya that ties these threads together. We're going to look at a detail. It's so often the case in learning that you begin by asking questions about a detail, and looking carefully at one detail could end up breaking open the whole picture. We're going to look at one aspect of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which will hopefully shed a lot of light on the different facets of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and will highlight the theme of Hodah as well. Now, the Gemara tells in Maseches Makos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us 613 mitzvahs. The Gemara derives from the Pasuk, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, Torah is the Gematria 611, so there are 611 mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu transmits to the Jewish people through Moshe Rabbeinu, plus the first two Dibros, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks directly to the Jewish people at Mamre Har Sinai. 611 plus 2 is 613, there you go, 613 mitzvahs, Taryag mitzvahs. What the Gemara does not go on to do is to list them. Gemara gives us the number in a line or two of Gemara that leaves this vast mystery, that mountain that beckons. So what exactly are those 613 mitzvahs? I mean, there are a lot more than 613 halachos, a lot more than 613 concepts in Torah. So probably not every halacha is a mitzvah. What does it take to be a mitzvah? So that question of which are the 613 mitzvahs is a question that captured the imagination of some of the greatest Talmid Chachamim for many centuries. From the middle of the period of the Gaonim through the middle of the period of the Rishonim, from around the year 800 till 1200, some of our greatest minds were very curious to figure out, what are the 613 mitzvahs? What's in, what's out? One of the most organized presentations, one of the most famous presentations, is the Rambam, who spent years working on his Sefer HaMitzvos. And because he was such an organized, methodical man, he has a three-section Sefer. The second section lists the 248 mitzvos asay. The third section lists the 365 mitzvos asay. And the first section, sounds like he covered everything. The first section is where he gives you the rules. He worked out that not every halacha is a mitzvah, so he tried to work out an organized approach, 14 rules, 14 criteria that will help us figure out what's a mitzvah, what's not a mitzvah. So for instance, rule number one, it has to, the Gemara says, Hashem transmitted 613 mitzvahs to the Jewish people. So number one, it has to be a mitzvah daraisa, not a mitzvah drabbanan. But we keep the mitzvah drabbanan, but they're not quote unquote mitzvos. They're halachas, they're binding, but apparently that's not part of the 613 mitzvos. Rule number two the Rambam has is that it has to appear in the Torah Shebichsav. Has to be a pasuk in the Chumash. The Rambam has his whole sefer mitzvos, and when he's done, he had to figure out what is he including, what is he not including, which items get clumped together as one, what gets broken up into many. And the Ramban, who lived just a generation or two after the Rambam, wrote a running commentary, a running critique on the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvos. And throughout he'll say, he doesn't like the way the Rambam explained this, doesn't like the way the Rambam presented this, he should have counted this, he shouldn't have counted that. By the time he's done with the Sefer HaMitzvos, by the time he gets to the end of the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvos, Ramban says, I'm short a few. I argued with the Rambam on different points. I held he shouldn't have counted that mitzvah which he counted, shouldn't have counted that. And now I'm below 613. How do we get back up to 613? The Rambam says, well, there are some other mitzvahs, but the Rambam didn't count, I think he should. So the Rambam is very polite. He doesn't want to say mitzvahs that the Rambam left out. He says mitzvahs the Rambam forgot. The mitzvahs shashochach harav. The mitzvahs the Rambam forgot. I mean, the Rambam should have counted this mitzvah. And he wonders why not. So some of them are very famous. One famous one, not our topic for now, maybe in Chodesh Iyar, the Ramban thinks the Rambam should have counted the mitzvah of Yishud Eretz Yisrael, which he didn't. Rambam denounced, the Ramban thinks it should be one of the Tariq mitzvahs. Right now I want to take a look at mitzvah Tesvav. And that is, if you enjoyed looking inside, you can follow along the first source, the first Ma'ar Makam on the sheet, is Hasagas. You see Hasagas or Ramban? Mitzvah 15. Mitzvah Tesvav. Shanitz davinu lahodos l'shmo yizbarach. B'chol ei shenikr b'torah. Ramban says, we have a mitzvah daraisa to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to give hodah, to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every time we sit down to read his Torah. What are we thanking for? Al ha-tova ha-gedola sha'asalanu b'sito tarasalenu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did us a great favor, gave us a great gift in giving us his Torah. How so? Hodi anu ha-masim ha-ritzim lefanav shebehem ninchal chai olam haba. Says, you know, we just finished the parshas of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu gets parachuted into the world without a rule book, without a guidebook, without a map. Kadosh Baruch Hu plunks Avraham Avinu into the world, and Avraham Avinu has to figure out what the rules are. It's to figure out what the mission is, and then carry out that mission. That was really tough. Kadosh Baruch Hu did us a favor of giving us a sense of what we need to accomplish. It's plenty hard, often, to accomplish what we're meant to accomplish, but at least Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave a sense of, here's what I needed to do. Here are the missions, here are the rules, get going. And Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the keys to Olam Haba. So that's something incredible, an incredible gift that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us. It's often hard in the day-to-day to keep track of that, to remain aware that Torah is such a gift. So he says, we have a mitzvah. So every time you sit down to learn, or at least every day, when you're going to sit down to learn, you first think, remind yourself, this is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do we call that mitzvah? Birkas HaTorah. And then he says, V'chasher nitztavinu bibracha achar kol ha'achila, kein nitztavinu bezu. The same way we have a mitzvah daraisa to say a bracha after we eat, we have a mitzvah daraisa to say a bracha before we learn. Where did the Ramban get this from? How did he know this is a mitzvah daraisa? And how do you know to make that equation? Birkas Amaz and Birkas HaTorah. So the answer is, source number two, it's a Gemara in Brachas. Brachas daf chafal from an olive. The Gemara says, minayin lebirkas HaTorah lefanehem in HaTorah. How do you know? How do you know? Where do you know in the Psukim that you have to say Birkas HaTorah? Shenemar, kishem Hashem ekra, hovu godel elokeinu. A pasuk in the Chumash, parshas hazinu. I'm about to call out the name of God. I'm about to learn about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm about to learn His Torah. Hovu godel elokeinu. First, speak of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness. First, say thank you. Thank you for the gift, and then you jump in. Mitzvah daraisa, and the Gemara puts the two together. You open up Maseches Brachas. The Gemara says, how do you know you have to say a bracha after you eat? Yochalta v'savata v'erachta. How do you know you make a bracha before you learn? Kishem Hashem Ekra v'godel l'elokeinu. So pretty straightforward. Two psukim in the Chumash. Each one teaches me a bracha. A pasuk in Parashas Ekev, Yochalta v'savata v'erachta, teaches me the mitzvah daraisa of Birkas HaMazon. Kishem Hashem Ekra teaches me the mitzvah daraisa of Birkas HaTorah. Looks pretty straightforward. It's a din, a pasuk in the Chumash. Ramban says, this ought to be one of the Tarek Mitzvot HaTorah. And he makes a strong argument. And we wonder, why the Rambam leave it out? Seems like an open and shut Gemara. Pretty straightforward. Gemara, pasuk, it's a din daraisa, Torah Shemachsav, a pasuk in Chumash, what's not to like? And it's not as though the Rambam somehow thinks that we don't hold the Birkas HaTorah at all. He does quote the halachas of Birkas HaTorah in Hilchos Tefillah. He just doesn't count as a mitzvah. He never mentions that it's a daraisa, a pasuk. Why? What happened to Birkas HaTorah? But to figure this out, I want to take a look at two practical, this is sort of like an abstract question. I want to dig into some of the practical, two practical issues. Two lines in Shulchan Aruch and the Siman Mem Zayin about Hilchos Birkas HaTorah. We're going to see two strange psakim of the Shulchan Aruch, of the Mechaber, Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch. And by digging into, as I said before, by digging into details, hopefully we're going to get to bigger vistas. Once we see, we're going to begin to see a pattern emerge, a pattern about Birkas HaTorah. Then we're going to zoom out even more to see a pattern about Torah in general, what this bracha can teach us about the business and pleasure of Talmud Torah. So let's jump in. Source number three doesn't look at first very surprising. Shulchan Aruch says, you see, Orachaim Siman Mem Zayin, that's the siman about, that's the chapter in Shulchan Aruch about Birkas HaTorah. Si'if Yudalev, the 14th paragraph in the chapter of Birkas HaTorah. Nashim Mevarchas Birkas HaTorah. Shulchan Aruch says, a woman plans to learn Torah today, she has to say Birkas HaTorah in advance. Okay. Not so surprising, until you take a look at some context. You take a look at the next source, jumping ahead, several hundred simanim. The very end of Arachayim, after Arachayim begins with daily halachos, like Birkas HaTorah and Tefillin and Tzitzis and Brachos, then he moves on to the weekly cycle of Shabbos, and then Arachayim ends with the annual cycle of Yom Tov. So you're in Tavkuf Pei Tes, 589, Simon Tavkuf Pei Tes, and Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, that you have a machlokas, Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah. Some of you are probably very familiar with the convention, if you've learned Mishnah Berurah or some other presentation of Shulchan Aruch, that the way Shulchan Aruch is organized, Shulchan Aruch was written in the 1500s by a Sephardic Talmud Chacham, Yosef Karo, who made Aliyah and lived much of his life in the city of Tzfat. He was a contemporary of the Arizal, of Shlomo Alkabetz, who wrote, was famous for Lechadodi. And the Shulchan Aruch, Yosef Karo, the Mechaber, presents the Sephardic approach to Psak, and when it's printed, he's usually printed in block letters. If you take a look at source number four, you see afterwards, after the block letters, there's a piece that's in Ksav Rashi. The Ksav Rashi indicates that we're switching to the editions of the Ramah. The Ramah, Rav Moshe Isserles, Reish Mem Aleph, he lived in Poland, he lived in Krakow. He was an Ashkenazi who lived at the same time as Shulchan Aruch. They both were alive 500-600 years ago in the 1500s. And the Ramah originally wrote a separate, independent Sefer Halacha, and then instead decided to adapt it to be additions, additional points that add to the Shulchan Aruch. So typically, as you see here, the block letters in the Ksav Rashi, Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, and typically the Shulchan Aruch will present the Sephardic position, then the Ramah will say, well, but Ashkenazim have a different approach. So that's the pattern you see right over here. In source number three, so there was no comment by the Ramah. But here in source number four, there is. Let's take a look. Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. Shulchan Aruch says, Noshin Peturos, women are, strictly speaking, not obligated in the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar. It's a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. It's a time-bound positive mitzvah. Women can volunteer. It's been Jewish practice for around 1,000 years or more that women seek to make sure that they hear shofar. But strictly speaking, they are not chayavos, not minatorim, not midraban, but they typically seek to volunteer that mitzvah. And then the mechaber goes on to say, acher shiyotze kvar. Let's say I heard shofar in shul, then I come home, my wife hasn't heard shofar yet. The yachal esko alotzian. Someone else, Ray Blue, can blow again on their behalf, or sometimes they'll have a second tkiyah shofar in shul after davening is over. Women didn't make it to shul in time to hear kol shofar, so they'll hear afterwards. So someone who already blew shofar and could blow again for them, but here's the point that the Mechaber makes. Aval ein mevarchos V'lo yivarchu lehem. The Mechaber says, but no bracha. If the tekiah shofar is being done only for women, there is no bracha. Wow. That's the approach of the Rambam, and that's the standard Sephardic approach, that when one volunteers a mitzvah, one does not make a bracha. So when a Sephardi woman volunteers to shake lulav, that's a wonderful thing, ena mitzvah v'yosa, but she does not make a bracha on tias lulav. A Sephardi woman volunteers to sit in sukkah, beautiful, but no leishev sukkah. That's the Sephardic approach. That's the approach of the Rambam. Then the Ramah goes on to say, the second line in source number 4, Niksav Rashi, Hagah, Ramah comments, the minhag, meaning the Ashkenazi minhag, Shahanashim mevarchos al mitzvah seishas on grama, Ashkenazi practice to follow Rabbeinu Tam, who argues in the Rambam that a woman's not mechuyeves to sit in sukkah, to shake lulav, strictly speaking, not mechuyeves to blow shofar, but if she volunteers to do the mitzvah, then she should say a bracha. Therefore, Ramah says, since that's the general Ashkenazi approach, is you do make a bracha if you're volunteering a mitzvah. So when, and that's this is the Ashkenazi approach, and approach on Ashkenazi shuls, when they have a second tekiah shofar after davening, so one of the women will say the Birkas HaMitzvah, and then the tokeah blows a kol haShofar. So with that in mind, there is a long-standing machlokas Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. Do you or don't you make a Birkas HaMitzvah when you volunteer a mitzvah? And the approach of Sfaradim in the Shulchan Aruch is, it's beautiful to volunteer a mitzvah, but there's no bracha. So you look back at source number 3, and you say, Vilna Gaon says, one second, I don't understand what's going on. How did the Shulchan Aruch say that women should make a Birkas HaTorah? The Vilna Gaon, who was Ashkenazi, lived in Lithuania, lived in Vilna, he says, I understand it. I would tell my wife to say a Birkas HaTorah if she's going to volunteer to learn. Rav Vilna Gaon says, because I'm an Ashkenazi. The Rishon of the Shulchan Aruch is quoting the Sefer HaAgur was a 15th century Ashkenazi Rishon. So that makes good sense. Rav Vilna Gaon says, the Shulchan Aruch himself just contradicted himself. Sephardi women don't say a bracha on shofar. They don't say a bracha on lulav. They don't say a bracha on sukkah because Sephardim hold, as Rav Shulchan Aruch himself said in source number 4, you volunteer a mitzvah, beautiful, but no bracha. So women are not chayavos in daily Talmud Torah, unlike men. So if a woman volunteers to learn, that's beautiful, but bracha, what type of bracha? That's the Ashkenazi approach. The Vilna Gaon says, I don't understand the Mechaber in source number 3. How could the Shulchan Aruch say for Sephardim that Sephardi women who learn should say Birkas HaTorah? Why is it any different than Shofar Sukkah Lulav? It's a mitzvah you're volunteering. Sephardim don't make brachas a mitzvah they volunteer. Problem number one. Was the Rambam left out the Birkas HaTorah as a mitzvah? Where the missing mitzvah of Birkas HaTorah. Problem number 2, the Shulchan Aruch has too much Birkas HaTorah. He says women, even the unlike other mitzvah seishas on grama, here he says women do make a Birkas HaTorah. And then take a look at source number 5. Hamahar her bedivrei Torah eino tzarech levarach. Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara had a discussion. In Maseches Brachos, if I have a mitzvah to say Kriya Shema, I have a mitzvah to say bracha, to bench, to daven, does it work if I think through the words in my head without actually saying them? Hirur kedibur or hirur lav kedibur. Does thinking count like speech or not? So Shulchan Aruch says here, Hamaharher b'divrei Torah, a fellow's going to think about learning, eino tzarech levarach. No need to say bracha. When does that come up? All the time. Let's say you go to a shir before shachas. So I'm going to the 6:30 shachas, and I'm most nefesh, get up extra early, 5:30 daf yomi shir, 6:30 shachas. Beautiful, gorgeous. Now, normally, I'm at 6:30, when the shir is over, put on talis and tefillin, say brachas. So can I save my Birkas HaTorah for 6:30? Or do I need to save Birkas? I'm going to learn for now. For many of us, I'll leave the Ikar Talmud Torah. When I'm 40 years old, might be the hour or two before davening. So, do I need a Birkas HaTorah for that? So I'm learning. So, if I'm giving the shir, for sure. How about if I'm listening to the shir? Or, how about I'm going to sit on the bus on the way to school, and have the AirPods in my ears, and I'll be listening to a shir for 15 minutes. Part of the bus ride, I'll be listening to a shir. So, I'm listening, I'm thinking, I'm maharer b'divrei Torah. My brain is working, I'm not talking, I'm not saying anything, I'm listening to a recording. Or if I'm the guy, some people come to a shir and they speak up a lot, ask a lot of questions. Some people come to shir and they may be paying attention quietly. So if I'm not verbal, do I need to say Berakas HaTorah or not? Can I save the Berakas HaTorah for Shacharis? Or do I need to say the Berakas HaTorah before I think, listen, and learning? So Shulchan Aruch says, no need to say a bracha. Hear or lav kedibur dami. Thinking is not the same as talking. The Ramah even says, if someone comes over to ask me a shayla, I'm walking into Shacharis, I haven't said Berakas HaTorah yet, and someone comes over with a shayla. So presumably I'm going to think about the question, and then I'm going to respond. I may or may not explain myself. I'll say, Aser, Mutter, yes, no. But I thought through the question. So do I need to say Birkas HaTorah beforehand? Rama says, no. Haga, source number 5, Hu adin diyachal lifsok din below nesinas tam ledvarav. I can issue a psak without explaining. If I'm going to start explaining the reasoning, so then I'm talking in Torah. So that requires Birkas HaTorah. But if I'm just going to tell you, yes, no, X, Y, the learning is going on in my head, but going on in my head doesn't need a bracha. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Maharher b'divrei Torah, inu tzarach levarach. And here the Ramah agrees. What would you say? What would you have said? I should have asked you before showing Shulchan Aruch. It's hard to say, I disagree with Shulchan Aruch. Anything strike you as intriguing, as curious?
Part of a shiur, and you're listening to a shiur, and you're engaging in the shiur, that if they're not talking anything, you should be saying, that's the general minhag nowadays is to do that.
Take a look at Vilna Gaon. He says, does this make sense to you? Vilna Gaon says, source number 6, Amaharer, quotes the Shulchan Aruch, he says, first he explains the Shulchan Aruch. The Kai Malan, we paskin, lav kedibur dami, the hearer lav kedibur, that thinking about benching is not the same as saying benching, thinking about asher yatzar is not the same as saying asher yatzar, hearer lav kedibur dami. Thought is not the equivalent of speech. He says, that's what Shulchan Aruch says, but then he says, aval kol zeh tzarichin, I don't understand this at all, Vilna Gaon says. This is wild. Dekan mevarach al ha-mitzvah. You're making a bracha on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Who cares if it's like speech or not like speech? Since when is this a bracha on speech? I understand. Kriya Shema is a mitzvah to say Kriya Shema. So thinking about it is not the same as saying it, and the mitzvah is saying it. There's a mitzvah to say in Asher Yatzar. Okay, so thought not the same as speech, you haven't done what you need to do, because those halachot call for a speech. But I don't understand what Vilna Gaon says. You mean to tell me that I'm not Makai in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah if I listen to a shir? Really? So it's a waste of time. Why am I getting up early to go to a shir? I wasn't Makai in anything anyways. Well, obviously that's absurd. Of course I'm a kind of mitzvah Talmud Torah, even if I'm not speaking. What's the main organ for Talmud Torah? It's not your lips, it's your brain. Vilna Gaon says, Kan mevarach al mitzvah. I'm making a bracha on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. V'chilek mitzvah to hear her. What, do you think that it's valueless and pointless to think and learn without speaking? Right now, I'm the only person in the room. I'm not the only person in the room. I'm the only person in the room speaking. So that means all the rest of you are wasting your time? Hopefully the food is good. But presumably, you didn't just come for breakfast. You came to learn. So is it pointless to be learning without speaking? Of course not. Of course not. The Vilna Gaon says, Halo Nema, what the paramount pasuk, the highlight pasuk for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, pasuk at the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua, the Hagisa Bo Yomam Velayla, you should be hogeh, a day and at night. What does it mean to be hogeh? What does that call for? So he says, we end every Shmoneh Esrei with another pasuk. It also uses that same shorish. The hegyon libi lifanecha. In modern Hebrew, higayon is logic. But higayon is clearly something, even in biblical Hebrew, that involves the lathe. The Hagisa Bo Yom V'Laila, Vilna Gaon says, doesn't mean you should talk and learning day and night. It means you should think and learning day and night. The mitzvah is a thinking. Often we express our thoughts verbally, but that's a way of expressing what's going on inside. The mitzvah is in your brain, whether you speak or not. You are being the kind of mitzvah of Talmud Torah right now. Even though you're not saying a word, So why would this not call for a bracha? Vilna Gaon says, I don't understand what Shulchan Aruch is saying. So on the one hand, there's too much Birkas HaTorah in the Shulchan Aruch when it comes to women. We don't understand why the Shulchan Aruch mandates Birkas HaTorah for Sephardi women. Ashkenazim we understand, but Sephardim we don't. Again, because the general Sephardic approach to Birkas HaMitzvahs is you only make, Sephardim hold, you only make a Birkas HaMitzvah on the mitzvah you are required to do, not a mitzvah you're volunteering. So on the one hand, source number three, why does Shulchan Aruch mandate Birkas HaTorah for women? And then on the other hand, why does he not mandate Birkas HaTorah for a Jew who's thinking and learning? All these pieces don't, it's sort of a double problem in the Shulchan Aruch. And the Vilna Gaon attacks both of them. He says, I don't understand why the Shulchan Aruch Lashita so did require Birkas HaTorah for women, and on the other hand, why did he not require Birkas HaTorah when you're thinking? What's going on? What's going on? This is really strange. This is really strange. So the Brisker Rav quotes his father, Reb Chaim, in the Brisker Rav Sefer that he wrote, not the Shiurim, the Shiur notes that were published from Talmidim, the Sefer that he wrote in Rambam, he rarely quotes his father directly. One of the only times he quotes his father directly is about this double machlokes, Shulchan Aruch and Vilna Gaon. And he says, you know, the Vilna Gaon, kept saying, I don't understand the Shulchan Aruch. You're making a bracha on the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah here. There's a mitzvah, even if you're not speaking. So why not? Why no bracha? So he says, well, apparently, Shulchan Aruch had a different approach. Maybe Shulchan Aruch didn't think it's a bracha on the mitzvah. Maybe that could explain why, on the one hand, Shulchan Aruch thinks there's no bracha on thinking, even though you're kind of mitzvah of Talmud Torah about thinking. It's not bittul Torah, so listen quietly. And on the other hand, he did mandate the bracha for women, even though they're not mechuyavos. Maybe the Shulchan Aruch thinks it's not a classical Birkas HaMitzvah. What could it be? What could it be? So Rav Bitzal Zsolti, the great Rabbanim, 20th century Rabbanim Yerushalayim, just to give you a sense of who Rav Bitzal Zsolti was, his name is not as familiar to us as many of his Talmidim. I was once in Rabbi Willig's office in Yeshiva, and he had a Torah journal from a number of decades ago on the shelf. I took it down. It was from put up by a kollel, published by a kollel a couple of decades ago, with articles by the Rosh HaKollel, by the Rosh HaKollel, and by the young Avreichim who were members of the kollel. So the Rosh HaKollel was Rav Bitzal Zsolti. And the young Avreichim, who were members of the kollel, included Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Yosef Shalom Eliashiv, and Ovadi Yosef. So they were the young guys, the young married men in Rav Bitzal Zsolti's kollel. So to give you a sense, his Talmidim perhaps are, to us, are more famous than he was. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. And in his Mishnas Yavetz, an Aruch Chaim, so he puts this in this question, this discussion of Birkas HaTorah in the context of an intriguing Gemara, Brachas Daf Yud Aleph. 10 blot earlier than the first Gemara we saw. I'm going to take a somewhat different approach to the Gemara than he does, but he points us to the fact that this Gemara is going to give us a lot of insight. It's a strange, if you've never seen it before, it's a strange premise. The whole question of the Gemara strikes us as so odd. The Gemara wants a four-way machlokas amaran on here in source number 7, Brachas Daf Yud Aleph on the base. A four-way machlokas amaran. Which parts of Torah require Birkas HaTorah? We never heard of this. We just take it as Darei Pashut. You learn Tanakh, Mishnah, Gemara, Halacha, God, doesn't matter what. You're learning Torah, you make a bracha. But in fact, most amaran, 75% of the amaran did not hold that way. How about that? Take a look. Let's take a look together. Let's try to figure out this Gemara. Here on the top of the second side of the page, source number 7. Amar Rav Huna, the first position, L'mikra Tzarech L'varech U'L'medrash Ein Tzarech L'varech. Rav Huna says, you only make a Birkas HaTorah if you're learning Tanakh. If you're learning Medrash, Tar Shva Peh, no need for Birkas HaTorah. Well, that's interesting. So Rav Huna holds, the whole idea of Birkas HaTorah is only to learn Torah Shiluk Zav, only to learn Tanakh. That's the first opinion. Second opinion, the next line, Rabbi Elazar Amar, Lemikar Ula Medrash Sarfavav, not only actual Tanakh, but even Medrash, which is Torah Shal Peh organized, I'll say to Rapsukim, but Lemishna Einot Sarfavav, but not for Mishnayos. Rashi says, jumping down for a moment to source number 10, Rashi says, Medrash is Karav Lemikra. The second opinion is, look, Medrash is close to Tanakh, Mechilta Sifra Sifrei, they're Midrashei Mikros. It's comments to Torah Shel Peh. I'll say to Rapsukim. Quote a pasuk and you give a comment. Quote a pasuk. Rav Yehuda says this. Quote a pasuk. Rav Meir says that. So Rav Elazar says, look, even Medrash is connected to Tanakh. Now it's basically the same basic concept that Birkas Torah is really for Tanakh, but maybe we can expand. That's also called learning Tanakh. Or in our terminology, learning Mefarshim. We learn Ramban, we call that learning Chumash. So that's what Rav Elazar says. But Mishnah is not organized, I'll say to Rav Zukim, Mishnah is organized by topic, Brachas, Bavakama, Yevamos, that's too far from Tanakh. That's opinion number two. Opinion number three, back in source number seven, Rabbi Yochanan, the third line, the third Amora, Af l'Mishnah mitzarech l'Brach, even Mishnayis you got to say Brach. Why even Mishnayis? So Rabbeinu Yonah explains, source number eight, Rabbi Yochanan says the Mishnah of Rosh, the Mishnah Ganki in the Farash Apsukim. The Mishnah is also sometimes called Apsukim. Okay. But Le Talmud, Shu Perish Amit, Gemara is only an interpretation of the Mishnah, ain't Sarach Levarach. Interesting. So the first Amora says, Rav Huna, you only make a big star on Tanakh itself. Second Amora says, well, even Medrash, learning Perushim on the Tanakh, that's close to learning Tanakh. Third opinion, even Mishnayos is also loosely connected to Tanakh. So far, everyone agrees, you basically only make a Birkas Torah on Tanakh, interpreted narrowly or broadly. Yeah, question.
So I still don't understand your question exactly, because I think if we're talking about brachos, you're coming from something, like even the source you said in number two, there's a pasuk that's based on, Yishem Hashem Achra, Your question is really just shouldn't it logically be that when you think about it, Torah should be acceptable? But why? Is there a pasuk that would make you think that's true? I mean, because I think even this one you pick up is still going back to the original premise that I saw earlier, is that it's coming from a pasuk, right? You have a pasuk that says, Kishem Hashem Akram. That's why you do your Hasidim. But the question of why thinking about it, is there some source that would make me think that? So besides our own logical deduction, is there some source that would say, well, this is something that should be brought?
That's a great question. You're making a sharp point, right? The Vilna Gaon is bringing a premise, he's making an assumption. He's bringing a premise to the table. Look, this is a bracha, apparently it's a bracha in the midst of Talmud Torah. That's how the Vilna Gaon read the Gemara in Daf Chafal. Kishem Hashem Akra tells me if I'm engaged in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, I have to make a bracha in advance. We've seen that before, Birkas HaMitzvahs. We have many, many, tens of Birkas HaMitzvahs. This one happens to be Doraisa, it's older than the rest. But you're right, the Vilna Gaon is working with the assumption this is basically a Birkas HaMitzvah. And he's assuming, you're right, he's assuming, which we could question, that the bracha is on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And as such, he says, well, but there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, whether I listen quietly, ask questions, learn out loud, it doesn't matter. And you're right, the Shulchan Aruch, and that's exactly what Reb Chaim speaks along your lines. He says, no, well, why are you assuming? You're right, this comes from some other pasuk. Maybe this, it looks like a Birkas HaMitzvah, maybe it's something else. What else could it be? So here, the Gemara already gets us really startled, because we could have asked the Vilna Gaon's question writ large. Is there no mitzvah to learn Torah Shel Peh? Is there only a mitzvah to learn Torah Shel Peh? Right. So far, three Amoraim think you really only make a bracha on Tanakh. Either Tanakh proper, or Medrash on Tanakh, or maybe even Mishnayos, which could in some sense be seen as an interpretation of Tanakh. And then we get, now, and we don't pass like any of these. The first three Amoraim would all say, if I'm going to learn Gemara, no Birkas HaTorah, which is practically shocking, we never heard of such a thing, and conceptually intriguing, like why would that be true? So let's take a look at the last line. Rava Amar Af L'Talmud Tzarech L'Varech. Rava says, no, you make a bracha even on learning Gemara. Even on learning Gemara. Now Rabbeinu Yonah says, what's the rationale for that? The Rabbeinu Yonah says, the source of the second line, source of the way, Afilu Gam Torah, says Gemara also is an interpretation of Chumash. In other words, Rabbeinu Yonah says everyone's working with the same basic concept that the really big stars are only about Tanakh. Other parts of Torah also include because they are in some sense indirectly a study of Tanakh. Sort of a fascinating idea. You read the Rambam, you don't get that impression. Hamashkim Likrabat Torah, source number 9. I promised that the Rambam talks about Birkas Torah in Hilchos Tefillah, and here it is. Hamashkim Likrabat Torah, Komashi Yikra Kriyashma. A Jew gets up early, he's going to learn even before he daven Shacharis. Bein Karbat Torah Shubachsav, Bein Karbat Torah Shubalpeh. Whether you're going to learn Torah Shubachsav or Torah Shubalpeh, it doesn't matter. No tel Yadav Tchil Mevar Shalosh Brachos Yachar Korin. You got to wash the Tilsa Dayim. Got to say Birkas HaTorah, and then learn. And the Rambam presented as whether it's Torah Shebichsav or Torah Shebalpeh. So he did not seem to be working with this. Everything is really somehow Tanakh related. And Rashi actually lines up with the Rambam, and he's even sharper. After the Gemara Torah, Gemara from source number 10, he doesn't say, oh, because Gemara is also somehow Tanakh related. No. Says everyone else is also Tanakh related. But the four sheets of Rabba, boom. This is Torah. Gemara is one of the foundational texts of learning. Psak Halacha is built on Gemara. Psak Halacha represents a pinnacle, a peak in the world of Talmud Torah. A person learns so well, so deeply, so broadly, is even able to paskin a shaila. That's rooted so much in Gemara. This is a primary address for Talmud Torah. Gemara is a primary address for Talmud Torah. In other words, what we have here is, for Rambam and Rashi, Rava is fundamentally arguing with everyone else. He's saying, nothing to do with Tanakh, it's not a bracha on Tanakh. It's a bracha on learning. Whereas Rabbeinu Yonah said, no, everyone agrees, even Rava, that basically it's a bracha on Tanakh. So what do we have here? Let's recap this data, and then let's try to understand it. What do we have here? The first three Amoraim definitely hold that Birkas HaTorah is really about Tanakh, narrowly or broadly. Then, and Rabbeinu Yonah thinks everyone holds that way. And that's how we paskin. Even Gemara, because it's also somehow Tanakh related. But the other Rishonim, Rashi and Rama, say no. There's a fundamental break. We're Rava rejected. We paskin like Rava. It's not about Tanakh. It's about learning. Now, why would I think that Birkas HaTorah is about Tanakh? Both Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh are definitely part of the Torah that God gave us. Learning Torah Shebichsav, learning Torah Shebalpeh, either way, you're kind of mitzvah Talmud Torah. As a matter of fact, as Rabbeinu Yonah highlighted, learning Gemara is the very core part of the mitzvah Talmud Torah. So once again, here we come along once again. There's a mitzvah, but maybe the bracha isn't about the mitzvah. What Tanakh offers more than any other part of learning, more than Torah Shebalpeh, you know, the Rambam in his Perush HaMishnayos, when he quotes a pasuk, he will quote a pasuk with the terminology Omar Hashem. We wrote the Perush originally in Arabic. Omar Hashem is a translation of Kelelah. God said ABC. So a reminder, a pasuk, those are the direct words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Torah Shebalpeh, the contents from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the formulation is by human beings. So either way, I'm learning Torah Hashem. But it's not more of a mitzvah of Talmud Torah to learn Torah Shebalpeh and Torah Shebalpeh. But there is a more direct connectedness. I'm rubbing shoulders with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm meeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu more directly. I'm having more direct face-to-face experience, so to speak, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when I directly learn, literally, Devar Hashem. When the words themselves are written by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amar Hashem, Torah Shebichsav is a more direct encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Either way, there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So what the Brisker Rav quotes from his father, he says, you know, the Vilna Gaon was of the opinion that Birkas HaTorah is a Birkas HaMitzvah. like any other bracha, like the bracha of the mitzvah of shofar, like the bracha of the mitzvah of lulav, like the bracha of the mitzvah of tilas yadayim. It's a birkas ha-mitzvah. It happens to be this is the only birkas ha-mitzvah which is mandated in Minat Torah. But it's a birkas ha-mitzvah, and therefore the Vilna Gaon said, on the one hand, Svardim would ought to hold, you don't make this bracha if you're volunteering the mitzvah, because that's the Sephardic approach to birkas ha-mitzvahs in general. And on the other hand, whenever I am fulfilling the mitzvah, b'chiyuv, I should make the bracha. Even if I'm only thinking, and even if it's, that doesn't matter which part of Torah it is, Torah Shebachsav, Torah Shebapeh, Bein B'Torah Shebachsav, Bein B'Torah Shebapeh, it's a mitzvah, Talmud Torah. Done. Doesn't matter. I can make a bracha on achilas matzah, whether it's soft matzah, or it's hard matzah, it's wheat matzah, it's spelt matzah. If it's matzah, that's a mitzvah matzah. Make a bracha. So whether I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of Talmud Torah with Torah Shebachsav, with Torah Shebapeh, Vilna Gaon would say, presumably, as Rashi and Rambam do, it doesn't really matter. Doing the mitzvah, I make the bracha. How about the Shulchan Aruch, who said strangely again that on the one hand did mandate Birkas HaTorah for women, even though Sephardi women don't make a bracha on Shofar Sukkah Lulav, and on the other hand said there's no bracha on Hirhur, on thinking, but there's a mitzvah. Yeah, just like most Amoraim hold there's no bracha on Torah Shebaal Peh, on Gemara, even though there's a mitzvah, because there's more than just a mitzvah. For the language that the Rebbe quotes from Father of Chaim is that while the Vilna Gaon saw this as Birkas HaMitzvah, the Shulchan Aruch saw this as a bracha on the Cheftza Shel Torah, on the Torah itself. Meaning, presumably, it's not a bracha on the mitzvah, on the obligation to learn. It's a, there's no obligation to see the Alps. There's no obligation to visit Niagara or to see the Rockies. But if you do, when you encounter the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the physical world, you make a bracha. It's not a birkas ha-mitzvah, that's a birkas shevach v'hodah. I encounter the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a thunderstorm. I say, notice the massive rations, the shekochu v'rasa mal'yolam. Birkas shevach v'hodah, brachas that I say to express the experience of meeting, of encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can encounter the glory, the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the physical world, and osa ma'aseh b'reishis, shekofu g'vrasa mali olam, or I can encounter the beauty, the power, the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through spiritual encounters. And here's an example, it's not the only example, but here's a prime example. I have an encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu over a black Gemara. I've encountered HaKadosh Baruch Hu over a page of Chumash or a page of Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. When I meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Torah, that's a meeting, that's an encounter that calls for not a Birkas HaMitzvah, not because it's an obligation, because it's an experience that calls for a bracha. That's in fact what the Ramban said. The Ramban didn't say anything about making a bracha over the chiyuv of Talmud Torah. He had said, God gave us a gift. We encounter the gift of Torah. We encounter the gift, the opportunity to be productive in life, to create our Olam Haba right here. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the gift of the how-to manual, which we call Torah, Halacha and Agada. Wow, that's a gift, that's an encounter that calls for a thank you, Lahodos. It calls for Birka Shevach Vahoda. So what's really at foot here is what sort of bracha is this Birkas HaTorah? Is it a Birkas HaMitzvah? That's the approach of the Vilna Gaon. And that's the approach, perhaps, of Rambam and Rashi. That it's a bracha on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It doesn't matter Torah Shebachsav, Torah Shebapeh. It doesn't matter where I'm thinking or I'm speaking. It's a Birkas HaMitzvah. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And that's why also the Vilna Gaon would say that there should be a split between Ashkenaz and Sfarad over whether women say Birkas HaTorah or not. Same as a Birkas HaMitzvah on Shofar Sukkah Lulav. But the Shulchan Aruch is aligned not with the Rambam, but with the Ramban. This is not a Birkas HaMitzah. It's a Birkas Shevach V'Hodah. It's a bracha on the encounter, a bracha on the experience. Which is why you have the Shulchan Aruch Pesachim fit into play. And Rav Zsolti points out, it also, perhaps, explains why the Rambam left this bracha out. Because the Ramban is correct in pointing out that there's a Gemara in Brachas Kafal, 14:2, that has a pasuk mitzvah d'oraisa of birkas haTorah. What was that pasuk? Ki shem Hashem ekra. Havu go de l'elokeinu. Now, as you pointed out, the language of the pasuk is ekra. It's speaking. And as Ramban interpreted that pasuk in source number one of the Hasagas Ramban, Sefer HaMitzvahs, that's a Havu go de l'elokeinu. That's a, I'm encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu through learning. I'm calling the name of God. Calling the name of God. Not every pasuk has Hashem's name in it. Not every Gemara has Hashem's name in it. But Torah as a whole, a name is a way of describing, referring to a handle for a person. The Torah is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, it's a handle for us to try to encounter, wrap our arms around Ribono Shel'Olam. So the pasuk that the Gemara is quoting as a source for Doraisa Birkas HaTorah, that's Birkas Shevach Vahoda. So Rav Zolti suggests that according to the Rambam and Rashi, who interpreted the Gemara in Daf Yud Aleph as a source number 7, as a fundamental machlokas over, is Birkas Torah about Tanakh? Or as Rava says, no, it's about Talmud Torah, Tanakh or no Tanakh. I mean, they're arguing about this issue. Is it about the encounter with HaKadosh Baruch, in which case Tanakh is primary? No, it's a Birkas HaMitzvah. Doesn't matter, Torah Shel Tzad, Torah Shel, it's all the same. Either way, it's a mitzvah, as the Rambam Paskin in source number 9. Ah, but the Pasuk is only aligns with the approach that it's a Birkas Shevach Vahodah. There are other interpretations of that pasuk as well. Kishem Shemekah may have to do with Birkas Haziman or something else. So says Rav Zolti, the Rambam doesn't count it because he holds it's not Daraisa. He holds, if you hold the Birkas Shevach Vahodah, that's the pasuk, Kishem Shemekah v'Golokeinu. But we don't pasuk that way. We pasuk like Rava and Daf Yud Aleph, according to Rambam, against the Gemara and Daf Chaf Aleph. We reject that. That was the other Amoraim held that drasha. They held the Birkas Shevach Vahodah rooted in Kishem Shemekah. The Rambam says, we don't pasuk that way. We pasuk like Rava, Birkas HaMitzvah, Bein Torah Shel Rasav, Bein Torah Shel Peh, and therefore reject the pasuk. The Rambam quotes the din of Birkas HaTorah, but it's not a daraisa and it's not a mitzvah. So what emerges from this whole conversation, we saw a series of halachic details that pointed to two big perspectives on Birkas HaTorah. Birkas HaTorah is either a bracha on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, or it's a bracha on the gift, the encounter, the spiritual experience, meeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu through a sefer, meeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu through thinking about an idea, through thinking about his ideas. Two different aspects of Talmud Torah, and whether you think the bracha is about aspect number one, the chiyuv, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, or aspect number two, the encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the spiritual experience, that will dictate how you determine all of these detailed questions. Women, hirhur, Torah Shel Tzad versus Torah Shel Peh, Doraisa Drabanan, a mitzvah, not a mitzvah. But let's close with the following notion. That there may be a machlokas harishonim, and maybe even according to some, rishonim machlokas amoroim, which of the two aspects of Talmud Torah does the bracha relate to? But everyone agrees that Talmud Torah presents with both aspects. With the aspect of requirement, it's an obligation that we have. And at the same time, it's much more than merely an obligation, there's a spiritual experience. You know, the Stifler, when he talks about this discussion, talks about this chakira, he speaks not about Birkas HaMitzvah versus Birkas Shevach Vahodah, but Birkas HaMitzvah versus Birkas HaNehneh. Like a bracha on food, which is, after all, the way the Gemara, Ramban quoted from the Gemara in Brachas Chafalv, comparing it to Birkas HaMazon. Is it a bracha on the business, the obligation of learning, or bracha on the pleasure of learning? And I'll leave you with the Gemara Tanis, Daf Zayin Amalaf. Gemara Tanis, fascinating Gemara, it's commenting on a pasuk in Yeshayahu, which we read several weeks ago in the Haftarah. Hoy kol tamei l'chul amoyim. Yeshayahu describes Jews who are thirsty for Torah the way they're thirsty for water. And then he goes on to describe Talmud Torah as well, as he's offering wine and milk below mechir, no cost. Some things are priceless. The wine and milk of Talmud Torah. And the Gemara, so Yeshayahu is being very poetic. The Gemara pulls together those descriptions into a single list. Nimshlu divrei Torah l'shlosha mashkin halalu. B'mayin, b'yayin, u'v'chol. Talmud Torah is compared to these three beverages. Water, wine, milk. What does that mean? The Gemara is apparently trying to make a point that those descriptions in Yeshayahu are somehow a set. That collection gives you like a picture, a perspective on Talmud Torah. Water, wine, and milk. Is that a recipe for something? A wine shake? It doesn't sound very appetizing. What's the Gemara saying? So I once heard Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky quote, I believe the name of Aaron Lichtenstein, Choron Levracha, that the Gemara is highlighting. These together give you this whole multi-dimensional perspective on Talmud Torah. Because what are these three drinks? Water is a basic necessity for every one of us. Milk is a basic necessity for an infant. Can't live without water. The infant can't live without milk. Wine is on the opposite end of the spectrum. I can live my entire life without wine. But wine is a symbol of luxury. Wine is a symbol of not just getting by, but living the good life. Enjoying. The Gemara is saying that Talmud Torah is a blend of both. Talmud Torah is a necessity. A Jew cannot survive, cannot thrive spiritually without Talmud Torah. I'm going to have a shrunken spiritual life if I don't have the perspective that Torah offers and the connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu that Torah offers. At the same time, I'm obligated. I need to learn whether I like it or not. I'm obligated. But at the same time, Talmud Torah is so much more than only an obligation. There's the mitzvah and there's the nehemim. There's the business, the responsibility to learn, even on days I'm not feeling it. But the goal is not merely to learn because I need to. I'm on a hike, it's a long hike, and it's I'm getting dry, so I'm going to have to drink the water that I brought along, even if it's warm, it's not so tasty. You got to drink, because you don't want to dehydrate. You need the water. Your Jew spiritually needs the Talmud Torah. But much more than need, one seeks over time to plug it increasingly into the wine of Torah, into the pleasure, the richness, the enjoyment, the satisfaction that comes from not only intellectual understanding Torah, but meeting in Kadosh Baruch Hu through Talmud Torah. The Ram speaks to Birkas HaTorah as a critical aspect of our appreciation of our Torah. And I believe, as we just discussed, it Birkas HaTorah every morning gives a chance to think about both Talmud Torah as an obligation, the business, and the pleasure of Talmud Torah. Thank you so much. I'm glad to stick around for questions.